Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Thursday, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, Greg Cosell. Do you bet football? Do you play fantasy football or just love the game? Greg Cosell, NFL meat sandwich in 1 hour. We've got all sorts of breaking news happening today, all sorts of car chases. Car chases don't always end in car crashes. Sometimes there's a nice little resolution into a police department or something. So we don't know what's going to happen in Brooklyn. It's a lot of noise, I'll tell you that.
It was a crazy day yesterday.
It was.
And this morning is getting even more intense.
It is. So let's just talk. James Harden wanted out of Houston. He's out of Houston. Now he's in Brooklyn. I don't know what's happening to Kyrie Irving. But it is your typical NBA blockbuster deal. Four teams, five draft picks, four draft swaps, and seven players. And only one matters, James Harden. Rest of it, nobody cares. Nobody cares. If James Harden, if and when he gets into shape, KD, James Harden is interesting. Championships, no, but it's interesting. I think we can officially signal the end of the Kyrie Irving is a franchise guy, Kyrie Irving is a build-around guy. Those days are over. I don't want to waste any time talking about Kyrie. I'm not going to project or I'm not going to guess. Who knows? His best friends don't know what he's doing. But Brooklyn, number one, Brooklyn had to make this move. Why? Because Kevin Durant can opt out in 1 year. Okay, after next year, he can opt out. He's not sticking around for crazy Kyrie and a bunch of, you know, bench guys. Number two, this also signaled that Brooklyn and KD now acknowledge we picked the wrong running mate. But again, I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about Kyrie. This is all about James Harden. James and Kevin Durant, two of the top seven, eight players in the league, maybe two of the top five or six. And I think they're very, very interesting, and they'll be very good when he gets into shape. And he will. He'll get into shape. But what this really illustrates to me, the difference between LeBron James and Kevin Durant. For years, there was this inane argument, and it went on for like years. Kevin Durant's better than LeBron. Oh, that's so sad. No, forget because one guy can shoot a better jumper. No. Kevin Durant couldn't make Kyrie Irving work for 3 weeks. LeBron made it work for 3 years. And that is the difference. In the NBA, let's just take stars, top 12, 15 player. There's only two groups of them. There's LeBron and Steph. Husbands, fathers, dads, men, selfless, smart, businessmen, emotionally strong, intellectually strong, physically capable. LeBron and Steph. Build your franchise around them. They're grown-ups. Give them the keys to the franchise. Then there's the other group, 10, 12 guys. Super talented. Unbelievably gifted. Some of the best players in the history of the game. Kevin Durant, Westbrook, Kyrie, you know, those guys. Kawhi Leonard. Many of them unraveled in the bubble. Couldn't take it as LeBron rose to the top of the league. That's what we have in this league. LeBron and Steph, give them the keys to the franchise, grown-ups. Other guys, they're just gifted. By the way, nothing wrong. Some guys don't want to be leaders. But this whole situation tells you Kevin Durant couldn't make this thing work for 3 weeks. The idea that Kevin Durant was ever LeBron, you know, there's more to basketball than shooting jumpers. There's defense, there's teamwork, there's passing, there's doing the interviews after the game. There's the face of the franchise responsibility. There's making trades work. There's elevating draft picks. There is working with your coaching staff and your front office. LeBron and Steph can do that. And then it's just talented dudes. But Chris Broussard talked about KD yesterday. Talented, but what else?
my opinion, is that he let all the talk about, oh, they were cheap championships, there's an asterisk there, anybody could have won those rings. And I was in that boat, too. I believe those. He was great, but, you know, that team was stacked without him. I think he let that get to him and want to go somewhere else where it was his team and prove that he could win rings on his own. Again, I think he denied it, but I think that's the case. And here's the thing, Colin. KD, as great as he is not a leader. He's a follower. And he picked the wrong guy to follow.
99% of the stars in this league, they're just followers. LeBron and Steph, here's the keys. You'll get it done. I mean, Kawhi couldn't even create decent chemistry with that stacked roster. The chemistry went into the tank. And listen, it's you know, KD left the Warriors because he wasn't getting enough credit when they won. Now he goes to Brooklyn, and if they win with Kyrie and Harden, once again, he's not going to get all the credit. And now it's like a three-ring circus. But the difference is LeBron is playing chess. Everything is strategized. Everything is thought out. Every business move, Beats headsets, Lakers, Cavs, Heat, coaches, players, draft picks, free agents, between Maverick Carter and Rich Paul and LeBron James, they are eight moves ahead of the league. LeBron is playing chess. KD and the other stars are just playing checkers. Just make an impulsive move to take a piece. Not really thought out, not any great strategy, just kind of bouncing around, moving around the league. Can I win this game? Can I take that checker? That's it. There is such a gap, and I know it's a cliche, but there's such a gap from what LeBron's doing and KD's doing. Stuff is so thought out and so smart. I mean, LeBron had this Anthony Davis deal. He had this thing done like 2 years ago. He had this thing wrapped up 2 years ago. And by the way, when LeBron went and got Anthony Davis, he's the perfect teammate. LeBron had it so thought out. Anthony Davis is quiet. Anthony Davis, LeBron doesn't like to protect the rim. He wants to get out in the fast break. What's Anthony Davis do? He's one of the great shot blockers of all time. He's one of the best defensive bigs of all time. LeBron, and the personality works. The game works. I mean, Joy and I talked about this. LeBron and AD, literally the first week, you're like, what? It's perfect. It's like they're brothers. They've been playing together for 20 years. Like, LeBron is just, he's in a different galaxy. He makes everything work. He won with David Blatt. He won with Eric Spoelstra. He wins with Ty Lue. Now he wins with Frank Vogel. KD couldn't make the Brooklyn thing work for 3 weeks. It's interesting. I've never turned off a car chase, ever. I watch them to the end, and I'll watch Brooklyn to the end. All right, so this weekend I was told by a source at Ohio State that Urban Meyer was going to take the Jacksonville Jaguars job. And now the NFL Network, I think there's four or five people reporting that Urban Meyer assembling a staff and he's going to take the Jags job. First of all, I think Urban Meyer owed himself this. He's 56 years old. One of the great college football coaches of all time and as good an analyst in college football as the sport has ever seen. He's 56. What is he going to golf for the next 30 years? Be an administrator at a Big Ten school? He owes himself this. He is younger than Sean Payton and John Harbaugh. He's 56. College football now, because there's two signing periods, is a relentless 365 days recruiting schloid. It's not as much fun as it used to be. There's no off season. And he's able to cherry pick what I consider to be a perfect job for him. Remember, doesn't have to be a perfect job in Jacksonville, but it's the perfect job for Urban. He's got a home there. Florida Gator country. He's an icon. He gets Trevor Lawrence. He's an offensive gifted coach. The division's always been sort of winnable and quirky. They've got a ton of cap space. They've got draft picks, and he'll have personnel say. He's also been promised the facilities will be upgraded. But this is the difference why Urban's probably, of all the coaches I've met in my life, college football coaches, I think Urban's really, really smart. If not the smartest, it's a short list. Is that a lot of coaches just take jobs. It goes back to the LeBron KD thing, chess and checkers. A lot of coaches just take jobs because they're open or they're desperate. He treats his profession like a stockbroker treats stocks. So I've been following Urban Meyer for 20 years. Utah has always been a good program. It had two down years with Ron McBride, an old coach. He retired. Good program down. He swoops into Utah, Boom, 10-11 wins. He goes to Florida. Great program. Ron Zook could recruit, could not be a head coach. Great program down. Swoops in national titles. Ohio State, great program, down. Luke Fickell, 6-7. Swoops in, doesn't lose a conference game for 2 years. Most coaches, they just take jobs out of desperation. They take what's offered. There's no strategy behind it. Jacksonville just got the world's smartest stockbroker. They're an $8 stock. The minute they draft Trevor Lawrence, they're a $28 stock. And Urban Meyer, with that cap space, few free agents, they're a $48 stock. Too many coaches just, I'm a ball coach. I got my whistle. I got my plays. Urban Meyer's miles ahead of that. It's not the first job he's been offered. Utah wasn't the only job. Florida wasn't the only job. Ohio State wasn't the only job. He had Penn State or Ohio State. He had Notre Dame or Florida. He's always taken the job. Entry points matter. You don't want to follow Howard Stern. You don't want to follow Mike Krzyzewski at Duke. You don't want to follow Dean Smith at Carolina. This is a perfect entry point and a perfect fit. I don't know if they win Super Bowls, but if you go look at the AFC South, it's been 9 years since somebody won 12 games. And there's only one big-time quarterback in the conference, big-time being like star, Deshaun Watson, and he wants out of the conference. So congrats to Urban. I think for him it's the best job he could possibly do, and it makes the Jags, you know, I said this about James Harden and Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant. Interesting's okay, too. Jacksonville now is interesting. That's okay. Nothing wrong with interesting. Not many teams are championship caliber. Ravens, Packers, Saints, Chiefs, those are championship caliber, and Jacksonville's going to be interesting. I'm all for it. Coming up next, just something to think about with seven NFL coaching options. Why isn't anybody asking a guy who we know would be successful? Why is he not getting calls? I'll talk about that next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
At Jersey Mike's, app is short for appetizing. 25% off your order. If you go to their app and use the code Mike's25, use the Jersey Mike's app. Be a sub above at Jersey Mike's. January 14th through the 17th, use their app. They delivered sandwiches yesterday, and they were, got to be honest, I didn't taste mine. I devoured it. I swallowed it whole.
You inhaled it.
So I got a story in the NFL that's stunning me, and then one that's surprising me. And just hear me out on this. I don't ask for much in life. Why isn't anybody calling Nick Saban? Boy, he's too old. We just had two presidential candidates. One was 78, one was 74, to run the country. And the 78-year-old won. That's global travel. 4 years of it. Nick Saban is a non-drinker and a non-smoker and is an energizer bunny. He's burning 16,000 calories every game screaming at people. Does he look old? Pete Carroll's 69. He just signed a 5-year extension. Vin Scully was doing play-by-play, eloquently, by himself, in a booth in the summer, in his mid-80s. Marv Albert's going to be 80. Regis Philbin was laugh-out-loud funny at 78 years old on the air. Joe Biden's our president, and he's 78. Nick Saban's 69 years old. Takes care of his body. I think he's in great shape. I think he's lost weight. Doesn't drink, doesn't smoke. Every time I see him on TV, he's eloquent. He's Belichick, 68. Pete Carroll, 69. Coach K is 73. Popovich, 76. Jim Boeheim, 76. Warren Buffett's the number one stock trader in America. He's 90. You don't think Saban could get the Houston Texans right? You don't think Saban could go to Tampa if Bruce Arians isn't the guy next year with Brady in that roster? He was not a disaster in the NFL. He was 9-7 first year with Miami. The team doctors wouldn't allow him to get and sign Drew Brees. He went 6-10 and said, see ya. Thanks for flying United. I'm going off to Tuscaloosa. Why won't anybody call him? It's amazing. I mean, we got guys who have never been a high school head coach getting offered NFL jobs. I mean, you do know there's seven openings. Four of the guys they hire won't work. One will be a stud. Two will be okay, but eventually fired. You're not going to give Nick Saban. You don't think Nick Saban would mop up in the draft for the next 4 years? He would crush. Urban Meyer is going to crush for the next three drafts. He's seen the tape on all these guys. Why isn't anybody offering him a job? Folks, when do you think I'm leaving? You're going to be looking at this ugly face for 30 years. I'm going to be eating Jersey Mike subs when I'm 80, breaking down NBA trades. Where's my teeth? I'm not going anywhere. This idea that, like, oh, he's 68 years old. Pete Carroll just signed a 5-year extension. Pete Carroll's wearing out his gum every Sunday on the sidelines. Do you treat your body? Pete's not a big drinker. He's not a smoker. He's thin. He's an exerciser. He's a movement guy. We've all been around 68-year-olds that feel 108. We've all been around 68-year-olds that feel 55. Nobody's calling Nick Saban? Really? He's never had a health scare. Urban's had a couple. Never had a health scare. Huge energy. By the way, he just had his best recruiting class ever at Alabama. Ever. Do you know how hard recruiting is? Recruiting's all energy and work. He's got different coaches every year. He's hiring this guy and got to get rid of that guy and got to replace that guy. It's effortless. Every year he's great. I don't know why people aren't calling him. He wasn't a disaster. Spurrier was a disaster. Nick went 9-7. Doctors were like, you can't have Drew Brees. 6-10, I'm out. By the way, how'd Belichick do this year? It's amazing what you can't do in the NFL when you don't have a quarterback. You can't win. Nobody can win. Belichick can't win without the quarterback. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
I mean, I guess you can keep beating Kentucky football. And I mean, I just think Nick is so young to me. What's he want to do? Does he want to just hang out in a lake? And I mean, I
don't know. I mean, the NFL is just, it's a different sport.
Well, he was pretty good. He was okay at it.
I didn't think he was terrible there. I think that the entire world would be a different place if that doctor hadn't made them pass on Drew Brees.
That's right.
Like, literally, the whole world. Like, you were talking about butterfly effect of what's happened in the world since that doctor decided that Drew Brees wasn't capable of playing
Change
football anymore.
College and pro football.
Forever.
Can you imagine Belichick and Brady have to face Saban twice a year with Drew Brees?
Yeah.
Brady's career doesn't look like this. Belichick's doesn't. Saban does. College football's different. A doctor, who hopefully lost his license, a doctor said you can't have Drew Brees. And that was it. And it's like, okay.
And here we are.
And here
and
we are.
Brady's in Tampa.
It's the only spot on his resume. Everything else is like.
It was interesting in Miami, I will say that. But I don't think he's incapable of transferring back to the NFL and having success. I don't think he wants to.
I think you're right. But God, when I watch him on the sidelines.
He could do it.
Yes.
But I think he just decided like that's not for him anymore. It is a different lifestyle.
It's a better lifestyle.
Depending on what you want
to
do.
My coach, he has to replace his offensive.
Saban doesn't have to work too hard to recruit now.
No, but God, does he have to replace his offensive coordinator every 16 months? God,
it's better than replacing your job every 3 years.
I don't know. In the NFL, the pensions are so good. Coaches don't do that. Occasionally, you'll lose a coordinator. Like Brian Daboll is going to take a job. But the bottom line is most of the assistants on that staff with their pensions, they'll just stay in Buffalo if they have Josh Allen for 10 years and raise their families.
Yeah, I don't know that NFL, that Saban's worried about pension at this point either, though. I think he's good. So the Nets pulled off the blockbuster trade yesterday, acquiring James Harden from the Rockets. They now have a big three. So we were back down to big twos for a while with Kawhi Leonard, and now they have a big three.
Do they have a big three? What do I get out of Kyrie?
On paper, they have a big three.
Right.
Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving. And Anthony Davis is looking forward to see what they do together.
He wants to play there. We'll see how it goes. I mean, you know, KD and James play together in OKC. And then you add another guy, Kyrie. Lost some key players. You know, Jared Allen, Caris LeVert. But, you know, they look good on paper, and we'll see, you know, how it goes when those guys, get in between the lines and get a chance to play alongside each other.
Well, we knew that even without Harden, they were going to be a very strong offensive team. Harden and Durant have combined to win 7 of the last 11 scoring titles in the NBA. So we know they can score, and they'll become the fifth pair of teammates in NBA history to play on the same team after winning multiple scoring titles.
But Kyrie didn't love being a 2. Now he's going to be a 3.
Correct.
I just don't think, I don't know. I mean, I don't know where he's at mentally, and I'm not going to project that. I don't have any idea, but I just know as a basketball player, when he's on the floor, he's verbal, he's in control, and you can't, that's hard. So is James Harden. So I just think it's a weird chemistry play.
I think chemistry is the biggest question because we've seen these teams come together before. Obviously, the Miami Heat is the biggest example of that. Everyone thought it was going to be an instant situation, and look, they did make it to the finals, so it's not like it was a disaster the first year, but it didn't work as far as winning a title the first year, which is the expectations when you have 3 of the top 10 players in the NBA on one team.
But Bosh, Wade, and LeBron are very functional men. Like, they're all guys, you can sit down at a table, talk, and they're all kind of aligned, I think, on what wins basketball games.
But and even with that, the chemistry and everything didn't come together right away. It wasn't immediate. This is the conversation. There were issues with Kyrie before Harden came. What happened in Houston was a disaster, and it's on Harden. You can say it's the organization, but everything that Harden wanted, he got. Like, we know that Harden ran the organization. You set the practice times. You made the schedule. Like, it was your organization, and it failed. So now you're with KD. To me, KD is the 1A. Like, he is the alpha in this situation. KD is the proven one. By all stretch of everything,
player.
He's the best player. It all has to come together, though, and that's going to take...
And KD's got to make it come together.
A lot of work.
Yeah, a lot. And KD's got to spearhead that because he's the best player.
There's no question about the talent.
And he's got the titles.
Yes. So while watching the Browns beat the Steelers Sunday, Chiefs receiver Sammy Watkins was tweeting about how shocked he was with the outcome of the game. And then when someone replied to him saying, looks like we've got some competition next week, Watkins dismissed it saying, I wouldn't go that far.
I wouldn't do that.
The top-seeded Chiefs are a heavy favorite going into Sunday's game, but Baker shrugged off Watkins' criticism.
I have no problem with it, to be honest with you, because if you don't have confidence, then you're not going to have success. And those guys have been doing it together for a few years now. They have a ton of confidence in each other. And so, I mean, it's just people get mad when you put it out there as, you know, your quote-unquote bulletin board material. But, I mean, I don't have a problem with it. It comes with the nature of this game that you got to be confident. You got to know and believe in yourself.
Yeah, we got to be careful making too much of a response to a tweet.
Well,
it wasn't a press conference.
Yeah, it's not like it was a press conference. It's we're looking for anything. Like, this is a content world, so they're going to pay attention to it. And if you put it out there, people are going to make a bigger deal out of it than it really is. And look, to Baker's point, he probably does feel that way. They're a very good team. I think it's kind of crazy everyone's just writing them off. Like, I think they'll have a little bit of rust, but as we've seen throughout the years, they have no problem playing from behind. So even if they do get ahead, they still have Patrick Mahomes.
I cannot wait to watch this game. I don't even know what the TV rating is going to be. Cleveland won 11 games, people. How are you a 10-point dog?
So the Chiefs are 10-point favorite over the Browns.
And the line hasn't moved.
That part I'm with you on. That I think is crazy. That I think is absolutely crazy.
I don't get it.
If for nothing else, because the Chiefs haven't blown out a team in a long time. They've still won, which is the important part.
We know they're talented.
But they haven't blown out a team, so the line is just, it's crazy.
And hasn't moved, meaning that it's the right line, like the sharps.
I could see if Cleveland was having a little trouble running the ball or something like that. Like, there was like some gaping thing happening, or like Stefanski wasn't going to be back.
Or there was another COVID issue.
Right.
There's not.
It's very strange. I'm with you. I still think the Chiefs are going to win this game, and I'm really looking forward to it. But yeah, I'm with you. The line is crazy. So the Ravens defense is facing a huge challenge in trying to slow down Josh Allen on Saturday. And defensive coordinator Wink Martindale has a pretty impressive comp for Josh Allen. We love comps around here. And he said Allen is like a young Ben Roethlisberger because of his size and how he extends plays with Dan Marino's arm. We're getting wild with these Josh Allen's.
Let's just say this. He's really good.
He is really good. And I like when opposing coaches build up the opponent.
Yeah.
Not only does it sell the fight, but it's like the appropriate thing to do. It's the Belichickian thing to do. You notice Belichick always does this. Even if they're going against an awful team that hasn't won a game all season, he will find a player and he will rant and rave about how great they are. Now, obviously, you don't have to exaggerate how great Josh Allen has been this year. He's in the MVP conversation.
But he does have a Big Ben feel. They went to small schools, a lot of doubters, big arms, mobile, huge size.
I can openly admit I thought Josh Allen was a disaster his first 2 years, and he has proven everyone wrong, and they deserve all of the credit for everything that's happened.
I said of the five quarterbacks drafted, he had the potential to be the biggest bust. So I missed on that.
I don't think you did. He could have been a bust. They could have easily bailed on him after the first year. This is what we do now. They stuck with him, and they deserve credit for it. The Bills are 2.5-point favorites, according to Fox Bet.
God, that's going to be great. The games this weekend in the AFC.
Amazing.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
All right, James Harden trade. We said this. Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence are going to make the Jags interesting. There's nothing wrong for leagues having interesting teams. Harden, Kyrie, and Durant, it's fascinating. Nobody turns off a car chase. It doesn't always end in a wreck. Doug Gottlieb, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. I don't know. I mean, the two of the three don't love defense, but there's something to it, right?
These are three amazing basketball players. I think, Colin, this is a really important point to point out, is that we can all be critical of Kyrie Irving, people say, like, hey, take all the time you want. Like, we don't actually mean take all the time you want, Kyrie. We want you to play basketball. But whatever he's working through, it just doesn't feel right, and he's hurting the rest of the league that is really forward-thinking in terms of valuing mental health. That said, I think if you ask most people in the NBA, or you used to ask me, like, Kyrie Irving's probably the most talented point guard. He can do things others cannot. So it is just tantalizing talent. James Harden, tantalizing talent. Not just a great scorer, but in 2021, he gets layups, hits threes, and gets to the free throw line. That's how you're supposed to play basketball offensively, and he's a great passer. Kevin Durant, I believe, was the best player in the league before he got hurt, and he's picking up where he left off. So before we talk about all of the things they don't do and all the questions we have, like, the reason is because we think they're all awesome in terms of their talent as basketball players. The question is, does it actually mean they'll be a great basketball team? And that is going to be fascinating to watch with someone like Steve Nash, who's never done it before, being their head coach.
You know, Durant's an interesting guy that, listen, it's the burner accounts. Broussard said it yesterday. He's a follower more than a leader. By the way, so are most athletes. It's okay. There's very few quarterback personalities. But it's interesting. He left the Warriors because, in the end, he wanted a little more credit. And now if they win with Kyrie and Harden, he won't get all the credit. It's like he went to a less functional version of the Warriors. That's what it's become, right?
Yes. There's two. I do think that the move out of Golden State, or the move first out of Oklahoma City, was because he sat there and said, I'm the best player in the league, and I just don't have the space. I just don't have the guys around me to show. And then, you know, look, he beats LeBron in the finals two straight years and is the better player, and LeBron's guarding him. And he had the two dagger jump shots in LeBron's eye from the same spot in the same series. And, well, they just have too many guys. Like, hey, look, LeBron with the Cavs, Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, Hall of Fame players. Okay, glue guy at power forward, Tristan Thompson. Same thing, but no one ever points that out. All they say is LeBron's in the GOAT conversation and Kevin Durant had to join the Warriors to win a championship. So he searches for this respect, right? For the admiration, not of his peers, but of people like you and me. And he goes to Brooklyn because I got to have another guy. He does. And oh yeah, by the way, one of the reasons that Kyrie and KD both like Brooklyn was the culture. Well, they destroyed that culture. Now, here's where I will give him credit. If he can make it work with James Harden, who doesn't play defense, and Kyrie Irving, who, when he was in Boston, Colin, and they were playing the Bucks in the playoffs, their basic game plan defensively was, everybody's going to switch except Kyrie. We do not want Kyrie guarding Giannis Antetokounmpo. And you know what Kyrie did? Kyrie said, I'm going to guard Giannis Antetokounmpo. And how did that turn out for him? Right? He is, to this point in his career, virtually uncoachable. And to this point in his Nets career, virtually uncoachable. Doesn't want to be coached. If Kevin Durant can make this work, I actually think it might show that he's a much better leader than we've ever given credit, and a much better player historically than we give him credit, even though he has two other super talents around him.
Urban Meyer, he cherry-picked a good gig. I mean, he's got a house there. He's beloved there. It's not a vicious media, so he'll be treated well. He gets Trevor Lawrence, $70 million in cap space. It's a weird division where there's no Mahomes. There's not even a Justin Herbert. Deshaun wants out of the division. It feels like it's going to work, right?
Yes. Again, this is percentage chances of working. Urban Meyer, I think you have to be smart enough to know what you don't know, right? That's what really smart people do. I think he does. I think he'll hire a very, very good staff, you know, because his offense, the college offense that he ran, I don't believe that'll work, although some hybrid of it, we've seen different versions of it working now in limited instances in the National Football League. What Urban is great at is, and I think you've pointed this out in your show, is player evaluation, because they have a ton of a dearth of draft picks. Okay. And they have to find a way to use those draft picks. And he's recruited all of them. He's coached against all of them. He's viewed all of them as an analyst for Fox. I think that part is, but the other part is he's an amazing leader. As you know, and we know, inside the building of Big Noon Kickoff, He made it into the best show on TV, okay? It is the best college football show on TV. And the reason is his leadership. He allowed Matt Leinart to be Matt Leinart, Brady Quinn to be, and then it all kind of fed into his analysis, and he would share information that he had. He's a great leader, and I think his ego is in check, because the difference between college and pro is when you're in college, it's all about the head coach. Everything's about the head coach, and your ego sometimes grow out of control. When you get to the pros, it's still about you, but you've got to make everybody think it's all about the players. And if Urban can do that, he has done that on television. He's done that. He's shown he can do that even in college. When he left Ohio State, he made it all about Ryan Day. I think he can do it. Now it comes down to whether or not Trevor Lawrence is as good as everybody tells us he is. You get the quarterback and you have all those draft picks and you have a quarterback on a rookie contract. Plus, you have the time. I mean, how long was Doug Marrone the coach? We get like, all right, Doug Marrone's going to get fired. Doug, if you can get time, quarterback under a rookie contract and all those draft picks, it should work. Percentage chances of work are very, very high.
So I don't think it's nuts. We just elected, you know, a 78-year-old president. Warren Buffett's 90. Krzyzewski, 75. Boeheim, 76. Pete Carroll, just 5-year extension. I don't think it's nuts to call Nick Saban, right? Like, call him for Houston. That's not nuts, right?
It's not nuts. I don't think it's crazy to call and ask. But if I'm Nick Saban, why? What do you? You can go down as the single greatest college football coach of all time. And I guess it's because we're going to deem the Miami Dolphin thing a failure. I don't know what motivates him, right? I don't know what motivates him. I do know that the fascinating thing about Nick Saban is his willingness to evolve.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. You go back 5-6 years ago. He said that Oregon's offense by playing tempo was unsafe, right? You can't play tempo, right? You can't play fast. Shouldn't spread out. They used to be ground and pound. Did you see what they did the other night? Right? He evolved. So I do think in the desire to evolve, it's there. The problem with Houston is they don't have the draft picks. They're in cap hell. And everybody loves Deshaun Watson, the guy. But like, look, he's not happy. A lot like what Joy said about James Harden. Everything that's been done has been done to make him look better. Like, you can say you don't like Jack Easterby. It feels like a cult. Probably. Okay, but go and look at, if he doesn't have players around him, how the hell do you lead the league in passing yards? I think Houston is not a good job is the problem. And it's not just because the Easterby problem or the Cesario problem, whatever. I think it's because of the cap hell and not the pick. That's what makes Jacksonville such a good job, is because you have time, you have picks, you have cap space.
Right, we got to run. Doug Gottlieb, good stuff. After our show, Fox Sports Radio.
Did you notice? I hear you getting on the hat on backwards train. You want to pick the Browns on this weekend.
You're going to see. Listen, you hat on backwards, guys. You win one playoff game and you go crazy. Well, you're a 10.
Everybody's hat on backwards, guy. I got to point out to you. Go and look on the internet. Everybody, even Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, who you don't like, Tom Brady, who you love, Russell Wilson, who's once again out of the playoffs and played terrible second half of the season.
We have
to go. Backwards guy. Get on the train. Get on the train, Coward.
No, I have my values and morals and my my belief system. None of them had on backwards. Greg Cosell, top of next hour. Coming up next. Okay, I said something surprised me in the NFL. Something that shocks me, and it's sometimes you just have to admit, yeah, I'm wrong.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades, they last two times longer than other blades. They're available only at Walmart. One of the things we know to be absolutely true, it is easier to win NBA championships and Super Bowls when the path is easier. We know Michael Jordan. We suspect he's the best basketball player of all time. Many believe that. But when the Pistons with Isaiah Thomas were in their prime and the Celtics with Larry Bird were in their prime, Michael couldn't get to the finals. And then those teams got old and the path was easier in the East. And then he won, and Magic and the Lakers got old, and the path got easier, and he never had to really face great teams in the finals. It was Barkley's Suns, Gary Payton's Sonics, you know, Clyde Drexler's Blazers. Good teams, not all-timers. Belichick. It's amazing how easy it is when you always get a bye home field advantage because the AFC East is terrible. It's amazing how that works. There is this sense that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are going to go on a 12-year run, and it's going to create a litany of Super Bowl trophies. They'll have to build rooms in Kansas City. But remember, they're going to have to pay him. This year his cap hits $5 million. Next year it's $22-21. After that, it's in the 30s. After that, it's in the 40s. You better win now. Because look at the current AFC quarterback roster. Look how many great young quarterbacks are in the AFC. Mahomes, 25. Watson, 25. Baker, 25. Josh Allen, 24. Burrow, 24. Lamar, 23. Justin Herbert, 22. Trevor Lawrence, 21. I won't count Justin Fields because I don't think he's a guarantee to be a star. In the NFC, we're not talking about what could really happen with Aaron Rodgers. Is it going to be Aaron, who's 36, has 5 to 6 years left, that goes on an unbelievable run? Brady's a year or two from retiring. Breeze is retiring. Alex Smith, Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford, and a bunch of young quarterbacks. Goff, Trubisky, Carson Wentz, Garoppolo. A lot of meh, a lot of a lot of I don't know. Aaron Rodgers is going to have a much easier path, even in Aaron Rodgers' division. Minnesota's not going to live with Kirk Cousins forever. Chicago's eventually moving off Trubisky. Stafford's not the future in Detroit. It's going to look like the AFC East. It's going to be Aaron Rodgers and three teams trying to figure out quarterbacks. And Zimmer's a defensive coach, and the Lions may hire Robert Saleh, and he's a defensive coach, and those are not wizards offensively like Aaron has with Matt LaFleur. We're all talking about Mahomes dominating this league. He's got Justin Herbert in his own division. Good luck with that for the next decade. It looks like to me Aaron's got this runway of 8, 9, 10 years, and the only other star is Russell Wilson. That's it. That's it. And Russell had to just get his OC fired and has the worst offensive line of all the star quarterbacks. So I know you don't think I like Aaron Rodgers, but I look at the runway, and the runway is for Aaron is Russell Wilson and a soon-to-be 70-year-old head coach who's more of a defensive guy. It's like, all right, that's one. You may not even have to play them in the playoffs. Somebody else could knock them off. I mean, Mahomes is just going to have this. I mean, Josh Allen, many believe, is just as talented. Lamar's not, but is a better athlete. And I'm not even counting like Justin Fields. I'm not counting Tua. What if Deshaun Watson goes over to a better coach? So it's not a knock on Kansas City. I think it's remarkable. And in a lot of instances, this is really all about one thing. AFC general managers moved up to get Lamar, moved up to get Mahomes, moved up to get Josh Allen. in a lot of instances, AFC general managers were just smart, super aggressive, and moved up to get star quarterbacks. I don't know. Kyler, I guess, is the real star in the NFC. He's the one guy we all believe is kind of magnetic. And I don't doubt that. I don't think he's Mahomes or Josh Allen, but I do think there's some real talent. Maybe Jalen Hurts becomes that. But it's a lot of Carson Wentz, Trubisky, Goff. And then it's a bunch of Matt Ryan's getting old and Stafford's getting old and Breeze is going to retire and Brady's going to retire. And that's Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and a lot of we don't know. I think the Packers got a long runway of Super Bowls if Aaron can stay upright. Supplement I take every day is M-Drive, powerful ingredients backed by science, muscle leaner, a little more energy. Go to mdriveformen.com today. Greg Cosell, NFL meat sandwich on a Thursday, live in L.A. next.